Amen. All right, all right, all right. All right. Hold on. How many of y'all can do some things pretty well? How many of y'all thinking I can do some things pretty good? Come on, work with me a little bit today. How many of y'all, pretty good, pretty good? You know, that's, how many of y'all think we can solve our problems by ourselves? Any of y'all that, I mean, but come on, I heard everybody all week long, you know, if we do this, if we do that, if politically, if it goes this way, politically goes that way, it's eventually all going to be all right. But y'all would agree, we're probably not going to take care of it by ourselves alone. Y'all would agree with that? We might need to have some divine intervention. Anybody proposing that some divine intervention might help the situation? Now, I want you to understand something in this text today. Go with me to Ephesians 3. You know, we come to church on Sundays. We come to church on Sundays and we wonder. We wonder, Lord, 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 are you there? Well, we got to be convinced we're there. I'm going to go ahead. I got to bite the dust here, folks. And this is going to have to happen only at the first part of the service. I have to have a little help reading now. You know why? I've been telling y'all this. I've been telling y'all this. We do not last forever. Larry, I would put contacts in, but I gouged my eyes out. I'll never figure out that technology, okay? Now, as we go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter what? 3. I want you to remember where this is today. This has been good all day. God's been speaking to people all day. And I want you all to deep inside understand that we got a God that is going to do immeasurably more than we can imagine. So this is going to happen in this place today. First of all, there are going to be some people come to know Jesus Christ that didn't think they were going to come to know Jesus Christ. That's going to happen today. Some of you today are going to wake up to the realization, wait a minute, following Jesus Christ isn't just about going to church, but it's about actually embracing this reality that I am connected to the power of heaven. And that there is a great world now, but there's an even greater place later. So if those be true, I want to know how you can be depressed. If that be true, why are we always so disturbed about the now? How many of y'all get disturbed about the now? Let me ask you a question. You know, my faithful Western players can relate to this. How many of you all have experienced things not going your way? God, it's tough. You know, in KB, you look up and you go, man, what is this about? You ever said that to God? God, what is this about? Well, you need to hear. When you get upset, you need to start hearing. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can imagine. Listen up, says the Lord. My later is greater than your now. And your now can join with my later if you listen. So the activation switch today is two things. Listen to what God had to say. Listen to the depth of God. Now let's go. Let's do a quick review. How deep? How wide? How what? Deep. How what? Wide. Let's look at here. Deep and wide here. Y'all remember that little song? If you grew up, went to Vacation Bible School. Deep and wide. Deep. Y'all remember that one? There's a river flowing what? Y'all want to stand up and do the motions or y'all got it down? All right, here we go. Ready? Look at here. Look at here. Here's what we got to do today. May we have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. Now, it all starts in the love of Christ. You ready? And then to do what? As this love of Christ embraces us, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, that's where we left off last week. How deep is God's love? It goes longer than you do. How wide is God's love? It'll reach farther than you're willing to reach. Y'all got the groove here. God will go where we're unwilling to go, and he will love at a depth that we're unwilling to love. That's our God. That's the God that's in this place. That's the God that these beautiful people just surrendered to. And that's the God that wants to glorify this world. Now, how does he want to glorify that? In you. In you. So here's what I want you to know. God's love doesn't just accept us. It refurbishes us. It changes our perspective because it changes our destiny. Do y'all understand that? There's a power within you that is not your own. So that means this, Sherry, no matter what life hands me, I have a now to him who is able in me because of the grace of God. So just, I want you to look at your neighbor and just go like this. He's able. Come on, he's able. He's able, girl. He's able. Dale, he's what?
He's able.
He can play the guitar, but Jesus can play the guitar better through you. How many of y'all believe Jesus is better than what you can do?
Yes.
Now, let's think about it, though. How many of us ever surrender there? Mm-hmm. How many of us usually do this? We're going to do the best we do. We're going to work the hardest we can work. We're going to try to get it all perfect for God. And then we're going to go run to God just like we were when we were 5 years old with our great portrait. And we're going to show God all the great things we've done. What if we reverse that? And we say, God, I tell you what, I've had this thing backwards. Instead of me trying to show you all the great things I've done, here's what I want to do. I want to surrender to all the great things you'd be willing to do in me. I just want to surrender to all the great things you'd be willing to do in me. I believe, God, that you are able to get it going on better than I can get it on. Now, hold on, I'm going to make this practical. Can I make it practical? Can I make it practical? Somebody talk to me. I'm going to preach today. You'll have to decide if you're going to listen today. Do you want God's tag on your life? Or you just want to be tagged by what you can do? Sometimes we need to learn that we're limited. And I'm going to tell you why. When you get limited, then you'll get close to God. True? Young men and women, here's the greatest thing you can learn to do. Imagine. Now, let me really spec this scripture out to you. Whatever you can imagine, God will go beyond that. Sean Pugh, when you were 12 years old, you remember that? I'm not saying you was a small 12-year-old. I'm saying when you was 12 years old. Did any of your teachers, you was in the 7th grade at 12 years old, right? 6th, 7th grade, somewhere in there. 7th grade, junior high, first year junior high. Did your teacher look at you and say, Sean Pugh, you will be a proclaimer of the gospel? Did they imagine that in Dayton, Ohio? How many of y'all have gotten to where people couldn't imagine you ever getting? It just happened. I got to tell y'all about an old lady named Miss Pettigo. Miss Pettigo at one time was a young lady, but she stayed around long enough to become an old lady. Y'all know how it works, all right? How many of y'all have ever been to Vacation Bible School? Used to back in the old days, had this thing called Vacation Bible School. Now, Miss Pettigo's from the old school. She's now resting in the great cloud of witnesses. She loved the Lord. She had a capability, okay? She had two capabilities. She could scare the hell out of you or love the hell out of you. She had both of those. I mean, this woman was on it. I mean, if you didn't follow Jesus, smack, you would, okay? And I mean, she ran a tight house. Now, here's what happened, though. I don't know if any of y'all got this problem. I had the wiggly squigglies. Any of y'all have that? They probably call that attention deficit today. I was just a wiggly squiggly kid. In the 5th grade, I listened like this. I still do. I move. Church used to be a painful experience to me. Because guess what? God made me all wiggly. And then you'd go at 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock and they'd go, shh, be still. And so I'm asking God, how come you didn't put be still in me, but yet when I come to worship you, you want me to be still? Finally, I grew up, I read the Bible and found out there was a lot of movement in there. He only said one time, be still and worship me. He did say that, but he didn't say that every chapter. There's some movement to this deal. How many of y'all glad to know that God loves wiggly squiggly people? Huh? He does, man. He loves. How many of y'all know God loves people that are out of the box? How many of y'all have ever struggled with God because you ever thought to myself, man, if I give my life to God, I'm going to have to walk around like this. When God called me to preach, it scared me to death. I thought I was going to have to shave my, you know, had to have short hair. Back then, I didn't have short hair. I had just a handlebar goatee. It just went out like this. Looked like a WWF wrestler. God called me, and I had this hair, fur, baby. I mean, thick. And I was like, I was like, God, I don't want to have like real short hair, and I don't like wingtip shoes, and I don't like Impala Chevrolets, and I don't like to run around going like this. Robert, how are you this morning? God bless you, Robert. Hallelujah. I'm like, man, I can't talk like that. I can't walk like that. And I don't like wearing Old Spice. I do not like Old Spice. I do not like Old Spice. In fact, when I grew up, if you would have asked me what heaven smelled like, I'd have to say Old Spice. Because every preacher I met went to a preacher's convention, you could hear the whistles down the aisle. There was so much Old Spice in this auditorium. And it was a fire hazard, too, because all them dudes had that Gillette dry look hairspray on their head with Old Spice emerging from it. I said, God, this ain't me. You know what God said? You're right, it ain't you. And I'm not asking you to be like somebody else. I'm asking you to be in me. This is where we mess up. We're not to image somebody else's relationship with God. God's got his relationship for us that's an individual reality. Imagine as much as you want, and God's going beyond that. Well, Miss Pettigo, man, she had a time with me in the fifth grade vacation Bible school class. And you know what? I kind of get tickled about this. I still have this in my tackle box. Miss Pettigo's husband made Pettigo fishing lures, spinnerbaits. And I loved to fish back in the fifth grade. I fished over here. It's now called Three Springs Park, but that was just a private lake. And this was back at a safer time. I mean, I'd ride my bicycle down there, get in a canoe, and I'd fish all day long. And my mom and dad never worried about me being kidnapped. I've often wondered why my mother and father never worried about me being kidnapped. They would send me out without any worries. In fact, my father always said, they won't keep you long, son. All right. So, you know, hey. So, you know, the way she got me to be still, she said, if you just listen in class, you know, I'm going to give you a Pettigo lure. Well, man, I'll tell you what, I sit still for Pettigo lure. To this day in my tackle box, there's still an old Pettigo lure. You know what it reminds me of? A lady that loved me enough, that wanted me to be still for long enough to hear a message that was strong enough to change my life. We got to start getting that kind of passion. I want you to be still long enough to hear God enough that it might awaken in your life that God is willing to do immeasurably more in you and through you and about you than you can even dream for yourself. The emphasis is this: Jesus is Lord. Now let's hear the word. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. That's not a reference to us. That's a reference to who? God. You know what that verse, that benediction, that's a benediction. You know what that helps me do? That helps me put things in perspective. The greatest news I know is that you're in Jesus Christ. The greatest moment I know is that you've been baptized. You know why? Because after you're baptized, I know that you have committed yourself to the God that has committed himself to you. And sometimes we get real wigged out in the now. So wigged out in the now, we can't see the how of the now. Y'all got my vibe there? Now to him. See, a lot of times it don't go our way because guess what? That's all we're living for. Now, young ladies and young men, I want you to listen to this word. It'll really mess you up. You marry who you want to marry and you might make the biggest mistake of your life. The worst thing you can do is think you know what you want. Men, are you listening to me? Young men, there is a great deception in your life right now. Even the grace of God cannot remove it. Only time. Some of you men think you know what a woman thinks. Now, the only reason you think that is you young. Your chest is up. Your eyes are still fresh. And you go, I got game, man. I got going on. I know. I know what she needs. That's because you ain't married. Now, the same guy that's walking like this at 25, 26, give him 10 years of marriage. Yes, ma'am. I understand what's going on. Because he's come to many understandings. And see, Gary, when you get in your situation, you just laugh because you go, the brother telling the truth. Amen. I surrender to that is beyond my reality. We surrender to things that are beyond our understanding all the time. That's why I don't buy this from my real intellectual agnostic friends that go, well, I'll tell you, Ayers, if you could just prove to me there's a God, I said, that is a bogus, unintelligent argument. Because I said, every day you pick up stuff and you use stuff you don't understand. And they go, I do not. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you're married, aren't you? He said, yeah. I said, you telling me you understand your wife? See, because he knew he's either going to have to lie or I'm leading him down the right path of righteousness. I said, I don't understand my wife, but I love my wife. I understand my son somewhat. I ain't got a clue about my daughter. I don't understand that girl whatsoever. I'm telling you the truth. You know what? If I live long enough to get grandchildren, guess what? I won't understand my daughter-in-law. I won't understand a daughter-in-law. I might understand my son-in-law a little. No, I won't understand him either because he's going to marry Clazy. He's going to marry Clazy. I'm going to be praying for that brother at the altar. I mean, I'm going to be sweating. I'm going to say, boy, I'm telling you what, you better know Jesus. And I'm talking, you better not have bumped into him. I mean, y'all better be having conversation because you're fixing to be on a ride. And I'm going to be smiling. In fact, I'm going to walk out of her wedding. She's all his. She's all his. And that comes with the bills, too. See, life changes. Now, let's get real. Now to him who is able. Well, hold on. To him who is able to show me who I need to marry. To him who is able. I got to thinking about this week. God hadn't told me we were in an economic crisis yet. I mean, have you heard God speak and say, I just want to let you know that you don't have a hope in your economy. Have y'all heard God tell you that in prayer? Well, how many of y'all have ever watched the news? We don't have news anymore. I just want to make y'all, we don't have news anymore. I don't care if you're watching MSNBC. No spin is spin. You know, ABC, NBC, PBS. And then we got bloggers. Oh, geez. What a beautiful world. Now people who don't have any sense can publish it worldwide. No restriction. It's not about opinion. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or what? Imagine. According to his power that is at work, not available, that is at work within who? Us. Well, let me ask you a question. Where is that activity? Now, church, I'm going to challenge you a little bit today. We got to let God come on through. We tend to observe God. We tend to bear witness to God's possibilities. But I think God is really gently screaming at us, would you let me come through? Y'all believe God's that strong? Or how many of y'all going to run this little Southern Baptist line on me? Well, that was only for biblical times. Who said that? I've never read a section of scripture where God said, and by the way, I only healed blind people, biblical times. I only took care of sick people, biblical times. I didn't see that. In fact, guess what God said? He says, this is a biblical time. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or even what? What are you going to do with that kind of God? I'm going to receive him and let go to work. Let him go to work. Somebody hearing what God's saying today. Go to what? Go to what? How many of y'all have ever asked God to go to work on your dating life? Boy, that is quite in here now. All right, for those, all right, how many of y'all single right now? How many of y'all rich? Sometimes that correlates too. Okay, watch this. Look here. Hold on. Follow me. You single right now, big boy? Huh? Well, you're on mission of research right now, wouldn't you say? That's what dating is, isn't it? Aren't you researching? Could this be the what? I mean, anytime you go out on a date, what are you really wondering? Could this be what? Now, those of y'all that are married, how many of y'all got the one? don't really matter because you got now, so you better make it work. Somebody listening to me? Y'all laugh when I talk about marriage. Y'all go, man, I can't believe you said stuff like that. Why? Because it's true? What y'all want me to do? Lie to you, tell you that everybody that gets married just wanders off like one of those, romance novels? By the way, you girls need to put them romance novels down. That's a lie. I read one chapter of one of them romance novels. It was supposed to be a Christian romance novel. They ain't no man that's got hair on his chest that's ever going to act like that. I mean, had a man coming in laying out an altar at the kitchen table. Baby, let me tell you what, when we come in, we want some food. You want to hear us have a prayer at the altar? Put some food on the table. We'll pray. God, we give thanks for this moment. We are males. We are not complicated. That's what I'm trying to get you women to understand. We are not complicated. We never have been. Food, water, some intimate entertainment, and we are good. I mean, we'll be your best husband forever and ever. We will mow the yard. Only when you're married do you get number three. Make sense? Larry, am I telling the truth? You've been married more than a couple decades, haven't you? You're a grandfather now. Can you imagine that? That is imaginably more than I can imagine. Life moves. Life engages. Life says now. Now I want you to listen. Now to him. That's where the surrender point is. How many of y'all have surrendered your life to Christ? You said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want to be connected, watch this, to two realities. Your forgiveness, which brings, remember last week's sermon, confidence and what? Freedom. Freedom from and freedom of. So now I can stand in freedom and do what? Surrender to things that are beyond my imagination. Miss Pettigo never guessed that I'd be a preacher. I promise you. And she never wrote it down in one of her little diaries. Bucket-headed kid, fifth grade Bible school preacher. How many of y'all have been? Eddie, did anybody guess you'd ever be baptized? What happened? You did. God knew it. God went beyond everybody else's imagination. Now, I wanted to give you a good word today. You got to let God get beyond. Klein, do you reckon anybody thought you and I'd be at the lake? Well, they thought we'd be at the lake. Lifting God up. They wouldn't have guessed it. I want you to know. I want to give you a challenge in life today. I want you to live in God so passionately that you're going to surprise everybody with what God will do with you. Now, I got a challenge to lay on you. Lockhart, I'm serious about this challenge. I'm not just blowing off. It's November, man. It's serious. We're coming down to Advent. Somebody tell me the greatest gift you could give somebody that you love dearly in your life in the Christmas season. Okay, that's nice, Nancy. I agree with you 100%. You going to do it? So guess what? I expect you, because I love you, Nancy. We're on the same team, all right? But teams have expectations. Would you agree? Watch this. I'll show you. Chase Goff, what do I expect you to do as a minister of gospel in this church? The first thing I expect you to do, preach Jesus so that people might what? Be saved. I have one goal in the church. Barry, what do I expect? You've been here. Before you had gray hair, you were here at Hillview Heights Church. Do you realize that? What have you always heard out of this place? Jesus. Because you know what? Mark, if people don't get saved, what happens to them? They go to hell. It's time that you hear it. I'm so tired. Man, I love your all's generation, but you know what? Your generation has been lied to over and over and over and over and over again by people that have letters in front of their name like me telling you that there's not ultimately a consequence to your behavior. That is a lie from hell. There is a consequence to decisions. And I'm glad there is. Because now to him who is able, there's a consequence of surrendering to Jesus. Your life will go imaginably further than you ever imagined it going. It will be passionately renovated by the grace of God. Only Christ. How many of y'all believe only Christ? Now, hold on. Listen, I don't want to bust on the government. We got to have government. But I want you to understand government. What does government do? Regulates. You see government regulation every day. How many of y'all have ever driven down a road? What's on the side of the road? There's signs. What do they say? Huh? What is speed limit? It's a regulation. What is the speed limit today anyway? Depends where you are. That's what I'm showing. They regulate certain roads, right? Now, I'm going to get y'all confession. The Bible says if you confess your sins, repent of your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your what? How many of y'all have ever violated a regulation? Now, what happens in government? I'm a regulation violator. I've been going down the interstate. I've been violating the regulations set by man. And guess what they have? On the side of the road, they have regulation enhancement cars. Boom! They turn these little lights on. Or now they got cool lights that goes across like this. In fact, when I went to seminary, part of my ministry was ministering to the Kentucky State Police up and down I-65. I would sacrifice $65, $75 being pulled over so that I might share the word of God with them. They'd say, where are you going? I said, I'm going to seminary to class. They said, God's in an awful big hurry today. I said, man, he wants me to be there. I'm trying to get there. I'm going a little too what? Now, why did I get a ticket? Government's about regulation. That's not a bad thing. Quote me accurately. That's not a bad thing. But I want you to know God's not a regulator. He's a liberator. There's a big difference. God doesn't regulate us. He releases us to be what we're supposed to be. Now, unfortunately, the church got confused and thought God was a regulator and not a liberator. So he's come to set us free. Now to him who is what? Able to do immeasurably more than all we can what? Ask or imagine according to his what? Power that is work where? Within us. He's got some action. To him be the glory in the what? Church. Guess where God's glory is supposed to be illustrated? Among us. We're the what? Church. Maybe we need to get some cool people. You remember back, if you're old like me, you remember that song came out, we had all the singers, and it was like, we are the world. Remember that? That's Stevie Wonder and all of them going at. Well, you know what? This song hadn't been sung to the church yet. This song has not been sung to the world. We are the church. Where's that song? We are the church. And blessing and glory and honor and purpose and new life and radical re-empowerment come from the people that follow Jesus Christ. We are the church. And what ought to happen in the church? You ought to hear what God's going to do. He's going to do something immeasurably more than you can even imagine or even ask for. So lift him up. Put him in action. Let him be heard. You know why? He's at work to him and to his glory forever and ever. Look what he says. The glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. What? Amen. Y'all gonna let it go? Two things today. Will you let go and let God show you his dream for you? You know what he's really saying in this text? God is greater than you can imagine. What do you see? Now, we got to do some things. We got to quit listening. Listen, I love you. Man, I love this service right here. Man, I just, please, in the name of Jesus, get this. Well, I ask you young people to do, I mean, y'all got Facebook, Frogbook, you got all this stuff out here. I've noticed this. Y'all help me if I'm wrong. I have seen some people say some very harsh things on Facebooks. Am I correct? I've also found this. All people are braver with me on email than they are in person. I've always signed all anonymous letters, Satan. I learned that a long time ago. Any anonymous letter that's sent to me, I sign it what? Satan. Because he's the only gutsless wonder who won't put his name to what he believes. I don't know why people get so upset about what everybody else says about them. Chelsea, I have seen young girls break out in mortal combat over Facebook comments. Have you? I mean, sisters in an uproar. I'm telling you what, that girl, I'm going to put on my Facebook. They speak in tongues. And today, many of you will ignore what God has said about you today. You just flat out ignore it. Because guess what? There'll be a moment this week that we all don't feel good. Well, imagine that. That's real. Jesus didn't say, I quit working because you didn't feel good. Jesus didn't say, I've stopped being God because it didn't go your way. Jesus didn't, watch this. Jesus didn't say he was going to cease to deal with America because America has gone crazy spending money. You know why we spend all that money? It has nothing to do with politics, but it has everything to do with belief. We believe we can fix ourselves. Some of y'all believe today that God's going to be like the circuit judge, and you're going to stand before him and he's going to say, go pick up 20 aluminum cans and you can come on in. But you're going to meet a God who had a distinct truth. Those who have received me will reign with me, and those who have rejected me will know my wrath. God's desire is that you would be saved. God's desire is that you would be his. God's desire is he would love to do a work that's beyond what you can even what? Imagine. So church, I want us to get beyond some. Listen, Christmas, Advent, that's the first Sunday of Advent, you know, hope. In December, I pray that every one of you share the gospel and every one of you get to be in the baptistry with somebody, with a friend. You say, well, we don't have enough time. Yeah, we do. Let me help you. We will totally rewrite all of our services for Christmas. They may just be this. We're going to line up at 8 o'clock and we're going to baptize to 5. And you come back Wednesday night. We're going to line up at Wednesday night at 6:30 and we'll be done at 8:30. We're just going to baptize folks. Is that all right? Sure, Pastor Dave, that'll never happen. Really? Well, tell the people at Acts that saw 3,000 people baptized in one day. See, this is what I want us to quit doing. Quit telling God what he can and cannot do. And start listening to what God will do. Well, we've come to the time of altar. Are y'all all ears? You need to listen. If you've never received Jesus in your life, guess what? You need to get saved today. Not tomorrow. Did Jesus say, now tomorrow, I want, or did he say now? Now to him, not later to him, but now to him who is able. Mr. Klein, when's it going to happen? Now. When's life get better? When you get off stuff that's been killing you. When you start dating the right type of person. Y'all are awful slow on these things. See, I'd like a little more commitment. When's God want it done? Now. Will you receive it? You let God go to work? Y'all been great today. We're finished. You know what time it is? Time to come to the altar. It's time to give your life to Christ. It's time to be changed. It's time to be renewed. If you're a believer following the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to come today and step it up and say what? Say what? Kneel down and go. Hilltoppers in this house, I want to give you all a positive word. Y'all don't listen to this crowd. You got it? Don't listen to this crowd. Don't listen to people. I don't know what God's going to do with you. KB, you may be the next Billy Graham. You know you're not going to be. They may fly you over there to Brazil and have an awakening they've never seen. Do you know that's not going to happen? I don't either. Young lady, you have no idea what you might discover, do you? I don't either. That's why I love all you young people. Now, guess what? I know some things I ain't going to do. I know them. Like this. I ain't never going to run no 4.5 40. Never. Never. You line up, put anointing oil on me, Jesus Christ get beside me. I said, Jesus, if we ain't floating, this ain't happening. He said, I thought I'm able. I said, yeah, but if you're able, you're going to have to move my legs because I done wore my wheels out. True. You know what Jesus said? That ain't important. Let me tell you what's important. Do you believe I can? It's not what you can do. Do you believe I can do it? I believe Jesus can do it. What do y'all believe? I believe Jesus can do it. I've heard all week long, everybody disturbed about health care. No offense to you doctors. I think y'all do great temporary work. But I ain't seen a doctor yet that can keep somebody alive forever. Have you? Have you? Now, sister, you know what? People get mad at me being this intense. They say I'm judgmental. You daggum right I'm judgmental. You know why? My life's in the hands of a judge. I've been raised by a judge named Jesus Christ. And he says there's a line that'll be drawn. And he says, and you don't have to be on the awful side of that line. He said, you can be on the great side of that line. Is that true or false? That's absolute truth. So my intellectual friends go, well, you can't prove it. And I said, and yeah, in all of your knowledge, you can't disprove it. It's only one way you'll know God's possible. Bring him into your life. Make sense? Has this been clear today?
Yes.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. I'm glad God went way past the original Hillview people. Because guess what we desired? I mean, here's how broad-sided and broad-minded and visionary we were. We wanted God to fill the chapel up one time and allow us to pay the bills. He grinned. He said, y'all are so Baptist. He said, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you how wide I'll go, how many strange people are in my kingdom, and all y'all showed up, how deep my love is. Bobby Baldwin, we were both at First Baptist. Nobody thought you'd be preaching the gospel either. Yeah. When we was in a garage playing rock and roll, they never dreamed we'd like praise and worship, did they? Yeah. Yeah, Bobby and I listened to Led Zeppelin, ZZ Top, real music. We didn't have electronic voice because we actually had musicians. We didn't have to rap because we could sing. I'm talking about a real day. Y'all don't clap about that. There's some rappers that can really sing. Usher, he sing. Ludacris, he can't sing. In fact, I wish I'd have got his job. What a beautiful job. He made $1 million doing this. Holla! I can do that. It's my only musical ability. Now to him, not to you, but to him who can. This is what I say on Monday morning. This is what I say after this service is done. Now to him who's able, let him be. Let him be everything in your life. Amen. Let him be your life. See what happens. All right, if you don't know Jesus Christ, he wants to know you. I mean, y'all ready to ask him? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and give me my what? Rachel did. Rachel, how was it? Did you survive that baptism? You even took your husband in there and nothing happened to him, did it? It's safe. Folks, I tell you this every Sunday. I've been a very privileged man. Imagine more. I've seen more people baptized than I ever imagined seeing baptized in my lifetime already. And I hope I got a little more lifetime. I've never seen anybody want to take her baptism back. Now, Leonard, I've done a lot more weddings than I've ever done in my lifetime. I've seen a few people want to take him back. Because one's an act of God. Now let God have it today. There's several of y'all going to meet Jesus today. How many of y'all need to hear this today? How many of y'all need to quit putting your faith everywhere else? Don't be worried Here's the greatest witness we could be. I'm not worried. What are you worried about? I thought you were people of Christ. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, Pastor Harris, what if the world's coming to an end? Thank God. I mean, gee, how bad's that going to be? God's going to blow the horn, and here he comes. Now, I'm not nervous because I'm convinced I'm going with him. How many of y'all convinced you're going with him? Now, see, some of y'all are like this. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. If he blows the horn, you're okay in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not in Jesus Christ, you better get worried. Say, well, I'll run real quick. It's over. I don't want to be over. Right now, it's not over. Amen. We're going to make it. Amen. How many of y'all believe he's able?
That's right.
Is he able to love you?
Yes.
Is he able to heal you?
Yes.
Is he able to stabilize your finances?
Yes.
Now, I didn't say he's getting stuff. Now, here's where you misinterpret that. Stabilize you.
Amen.
How many of y'all got food? How many of y'all got more food than you need even in a bad economy?
That's right.
How many of y'all had a little heat last night when it got cold? Mm-hmm. We're doing all right, aren't we?
That's right.
How many of y'all even drove a vehicle? Watch this. God is blessed. I drove a vehicle in here, and I don't even know how to use all the buttons on it. And I tell my kids that ride with me, and kids get in the car with me, ride with me, I said, y'all touch a button on this vehicle, I'm going to skin your head. And they said, why? I said, because I don't know how to reset whatever you adjust. I said, right now I can turn the key on and I can get it in gear. That's all I need to do. I don't need to watch TV as I go down the road.
No.
I don't need to heat my seats.
No.
One of them 2 weeks ago turned my seat heater on and I was sitting there, my rear end was roasting for 2 weeks. I didn't know how to get it off. Had to go on about a 2-hour trip and I smelt something burning. It was me. Crazy stuff goes on. No, here's what I'm showing y'all. We got enough. But you know what's so sad? Instead of wanting him to do more, we just want more stuff. Now, let's let God's ability come through this church. I'm serious. I'm serious. I hope every one of you get to get in the baptistry with a friend at Christmas. That'd be your greatest Christmas present. Boy, what a great moment. I'd like to share with you the greatest thing I have. The greatest gift I have is Jesus Christ, and he would like to give the same thing to you, and I'd love for you to have it, my sister. That's the greatest gift I know. It's real. All right, God's been clear today. Let's stand up. It's altar time. God's been clear today. Now to him who is able, may his glory be received. Pray with me. Pray with each other. Pray that God move. Pray that God communicate. Pray to who? God. You ready? Lord Jesus, show everyone in this room your way. All of us, Lord. Lord, we pray now. Now listen, we're praying for people that don't know Jesus. They're here. They're on their way. They're here. Now, if that's you, don't panic. Just listen. Tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned, and I ask you to come into my life. I'm going to trust you, Lord Jesus, to be more able than I am to fix me. So Lord Jesus, I give you my sin. I believe you died. I believe you've risen. I give you my life. Just tell him, I give you my life. Don't have to be complicated. I give you my life, Lord Jesus. I repent of my sins and ask you to come into my life. That's real. Now today, if you've been doubting God, we do that sometimes. We just doubt what God can do. Why don't you come and say, God, how many of y'all got one refresh button on your phone or your computer or something? You've had to hit refresh about something. Boom. How many of y'all need to come hit refresh this morning? God, I've lost perspective. Refresh. Now, after I hit that refresh button, now to him who is able. Not just to me, but to him who is able. Pastors, guess what? We got to hit constantly. Refresh. Any of y'all who think you got it all figured out, you're the dumbest one on staff. Because he's too deep and he's too wide to know it all. Here's what I know. God will do immeasurably more than I can. And he's willing to go farther than I am. And he will reach wider than I will. So let him have his way. Lord, draw your people to salvation, to refreshing moments, to encouraging moments. God, in this moment, to healing moments. So in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bring folk to the altar that need to be baptized, absolutely that need to come to Christ for the first time, those that need to receive, those that need to be refreshed, those that need prayers of healing, those who need relief. Bring us forward, God, and allow your understanding to be in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Come on, church. Come on. Come on.